This morning I want to talk to you from Psalm 16. So if you'd like to follow it along in the Pew Bible, we're going to be following the text fairly closely. It's on page 538. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you to thank you for your word of life, that gives us hope and peace in the midst of this troublesome world. Lord, as we hear about the wonders of your love and grace and mercy this morning, so draw us closer to you in peace and in security. In your name we pray. Amen. I wonder when and why you pray. Do you pray in the morning for blessing and help for the day? Do you pray at night for peace and protection? Do you pray on the run as you go through the day, just short arrow prayers? Do you pray when you're outdoors and close to God and in nature? Do you pray when you have a crisis and have a need in your life? Do you pray when you're sick? It's often said that you know a good prayer when you hear it. The best prayers, those that are the most authentic and heartfelt, are those void of pious platitudes, tired cliches, and flowery language. They are often the shortest prayers. The writer Anne Lamott says that she has prayer down to a fine art, just one word, help. Today we get to listen into and learn from a prayer that is ascribed to King David. Its heading is a miktam of David. Now, don't ask me what a miktam is. The scholars say it could denote a literary genre or a musical setting, but if it's like a Tim Tam, I'll be in that. But this miktam is noted for its brevity, tenderness, and power. It is summarized in the first five words, depending on the translation that you have. Keep me safe, O God. This psalm implicitly acknowledges what we know to be true from living in this world, that this world is a dangerous place. For too many people in this world and for far too many places, the world is not safe. For many, the world is a horror of devastation and destruction, poverty and starvation, vulnerability and sorrow. Even living here in Australia, this lucky country, such things also come our way. In his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress, the Protestant reformer Martin Luther said, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. Indeed, it is true, there can be trouble and strife anywhere, and it can attack us at any time, at any moment. Life is going along well, and then bang, a marriage ends, a job finishes, your health breaks down, a friendship falls, finances plummet, failure occurs. Society tells us to find our security in our achievements, our investments, our education, career, health, wealth, family, friends, and many other things. But to try and find our security in these things is to set ourselves up for failure and also for a stressful life. Now, let's call our psalm writer David. And David tells us in this psalm that we find our security in the God of life. Finding our security in the God of life is how we navigate this world in the midst of all these devils that threaten to attack us. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning with the theme, finding our security in the God of life. And as we unpack this psalm this morning, we shall see that there are three C's in our relationship to God, that through them we can find our security in Him. Firstly, we need to have commitment to God. Secondly, we need to find contentment in God. And thirdly, we need to have confidence in God. Now, I acknowledge that these three C's come from a sermon outline on the website, Veritas Domain. I thought they were very good, and I wanted to share with them with you this morning. So to the first C, we need to have commitment to God. And this commitment is found in the first four verses of our text. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. The theme of this psalm is summarized in the first verse. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. God is addressed in this prayer. So it's a prayer that to God that we get the opportunity into to listen into, participate in, and later pray ourselves. God is refuge. God is security. God is that safe place that we run to when we feel threatened, when things are falling apart, when our world seems to be collapsing around us. To find refuge in God, we turn to Him in trust and commitment, because compared with all the other things that the world offers to give us security, there is nothing or no one better than God. So what does commitment to God look like? Well, we discover this as we go through the rest of the opening verses. A commitment to God means submitting to God as Lord. David says, you are my Lord. David says that the God in whom we take refuge is Lord. Lord refers to the sovereignty and authority. If someone is Lord of your life, it means that they govern your life. To say as they did in Jesus' time that Caesar is Lord meant that Caesar governed your life. His rule was the one from which you took your direction. Similarly for David, God governs his life. And it is his rule from which David looks for direction. It is also our rule from which we look forward for direction as we seek refuge in God. A commitment to God also means finding our sufficiency in God, in His goodness. David says, apart from me, I have no good thing. The Hebrew word for goodness here means completeness. As his Lord, David supplies all his needs. God supplies David all his needs, and this supply is perfect and fulfilling. It reminds us of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, meaning I have everything I need. Even in the midst of the hardest, darkest, deepest times and trials of life, the Good Shepherd leads us through that valley of the shadow of death. This does not mean that we abandon all that is at our disposal in this world for us to find security in. But there in those particularly unsafe, dark, difficult times, our good is always in God. He is our Lord and we can trust Him. A commitment to God also means finding satisfaction in the people of God. David says, as for the saints in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The term saints derives its origin, its meaning from the notion of holy people, set apart by God. whose calling, as the Old Testament shows, is that the glory of God might be revealed to the world by God's dealing with his people. God is faithful to his people. He deals gloriously with them. In doing so, he testifies to the world of his fellowship with his people. We find our security in the God of life, then, among his people. As we fellowship together, we find our place in God. There in the fellowship of the holy people, for us, it's the church, we find love and care and friendship and belonging and support. So we find satisfaction in God and in the church, in the body of Christ, his Son on this earth. So it's also in his people that we find our security to live in this troublesome world. That's why belonging to a church and participating in the life of the church is so important. A commitment to God also means separating ourselves from the enemies of God. David says, "The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips." In the world, there are those who run after other gods. We have already mentioned them. Other gods are any persons, places, or things we put above the Lord God and seek our security first in them. Those who do that will not find security in them. In fact, their situation, their sorrows, as David says, will only get worse. David warns those that hear this prayer that if they dabble in pagan idolatry, their lives will only get worse. He will not take up the pagan drink offerings of blood. He will not even take the name of the false gods upon his lips, because to do that would mean placing himself under their authority. So to find our security in God, we keep our worship pure and we stay committed to him. The second C to finding our security in the God of life is contentment. We find our contentment in God. The verses that tell us this are verses 5 to 7. "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me." In verse 5, David says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure." What David is saying here is that we are meant to be content, first of all, with God above the gifts of things that he gives us. We become discontent and lose our security when we place the things that God has given us above God himself, when we focus more on the blessings rather than the blesser. In this Western world, we have many blessings, even though many people don't think they have enough, but compared with many parts of this world, we are rich beyond measure here in Australia. While the blessings from God are good, we have all that we need in God. David says that God is my portion and my cup. In other words, he is our food and drink. He is our sustenance. He is the one from whom life comes and to whom life goes. David says, "You've made my lot secure." David is content and thankful for God's support. As he looks and we look around, indeed, God has made our lot secure. He's given us himself and his blessings. What more do we need? In verse 6, we discover that we find our contentment in God by being content with God directing our lives. "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." The reference to boundary lines and inheritance is often used in connection in the Old Testament to dividing up the land of Canaan among the tribes of Israel. David is content with God giving him pleasant places. What the Lord gives him is delightful. David is thankful for the good property he has received from God. But we need to remember that there is more contentment and more security in God than in the property he gives us. And in verse 7, David tells us, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me." Now, one of the most important parts of this psalm is this verse. This is that we find our contentment with God through prayer. David here speaks of a conversation between him and God. He speaks to God of what is bothering him, worrying him, concerning him. And God counsels him. He answers back. He leads and guides him. There's a personal relationship between them. David says that even at night my heart instructs me. In the Hebrew, it is literally, even in the night times, my kidneys instruct me. Because in Hebrew anatomy, the kidneys were the seat of human emotion. It refers to one's deepest thoughts and conscience. So in prayer, the Spirit moves deep within David and can move deep within us to help us in our times of stress, worry, and insecurity, to give us security. David describes the third C that we find is we need to find confidence in God. And David says from the final three verses, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David describes the confidence he has in God. He says, "I will not be shaken. My heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body rests secure. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." There is confidence for security in this life and in the next for David. He says, "You will not abandon me to the grave." For the Hebrew, the grave was the place of the dead. The grave was actually a place to be feared, because they believed that there was no more fellowship with God. It was no longer possible to praise God. Once you were dead, you were dead. But even with this Hebrew mindset and understanding about death, David says confidently, "Nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Now, if we think back to the beginning of the psalm, we've seen it mainly written in the first person. David talks about my cup, my lot, my inheritance. But in verse 10, we find this third person description, your Holy One, who will not see decay. Who can it be? Well, it isn't David, because David did die and his body underwent decay. So who can it be? Well, I know you know the answer to all the questions that are normally asked when children at a kids' talk. It's always Jesus, and I know you know that's the answer here. But how do we know? Firstly, Peter quotes these four verses in his Pentecost Day speech in Acts 2:25, saying that David was referring to Jesus in this psalm. And later in Acts 13:35, Paul quotes this verse, referring to the fact in verse 34 that God raised Jesus from the dead, never to decay. David had confidence that even in the midst of death, there is security in God. because there would be this Holy One, Jesus Christ, who would come and provide for us all a path of life from which we could receive joy in His presence and eternal pleasures at God's right hand. So even death and the underworld are not an obstacle which can shatter our communion and security in our God. David said, I've set the Lord at my right hand. The right hand being the side of favour, blessing and good. That's the hand that we extend when we shake hands with another person. You know, as Christians, we can go through the motions, and despite all of that, we can drift in our faith. We don't notice it, but despite even saying our prayers regularly, reading our Bible and going to church, we can find ourselves far away from God. Saying with our lips that we find security in God, and even demonstrating it with our religious actions, but in actual fact, a self-stock take, we'll discover ourselves as having chased after other gods, as looking for security in all the wrong places, and in living in fear of what may or may not happen to us this side or the other side of the grave. So I wanted to share this message with you this morning for you to focus on and, if necessary, recenter your life on God and the resurrection of Christ. To see to it that you do set the Lord at your right hand. It's easy to become blasé about the resurrection. It happens once a year. It's easy to just give it lip service. But I've hoped today that I've overwhelmed you with the good news that our security is in the God of life and that He does not abandon us ever, not even to the grave, but gives us through that grave the path of life to His presence forever. So as you go from this place today, may your heart be glad, may your tongue rejoice, and may your lot be secure because you have a delightful inheritance in Christ, the Holy One, the risen Lord, the living One. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful security that we have in you in life and in death. We thank you, O God, for your faithfulness, though there are many times when we are unfaithful, Lord, you are faithful. And though there are many times in life when we let go, you never let go. So, Lord, let us rest in the peace of your overwhelming love and grace and security that we find in you, that you showed to us when you died on the cross for our sins and rose again for us on the third day. Lord, let us indeed go and live in the fullness of peace, the fullness of shalom. In your precious name we pray. Amen.